tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Today's featured song comes from one of my favorite bands, Judah and the Lion, and it was from their latest release called Pep Talks, which came out in 2019, probably one of my favorite albums of last year, probably one of my top five albums of all time. The interesting thing about it is this album was birthed out of a season of deep pain from the lead singer. So Judah and the Lion had started experiencing some notoriety. People really knew who they were, but it was in the midst of this that he also started experiencing some of the most difficult, painful times of his entire life. There was a number of things going on. One, his mother's alcoholism had brought her to the point where she was now in jail. In addition to that, he saw his mom and his dad go through a divorce after 26 years of marriage. Then on top of that, his aunt, who he was so close to, passed away. And to just add on to all of that, they were out on tour when all of these things were happening, and it kept him away from his family. Reflecting over this process of writing the album and the honesty that this album brings, one of the band members said this about the lead singer. He said, "I'm really grateful for this record and what it talks about, even though it comes from a place of difficulty and struggle. It's been a beautiful thing to watch the redemption and grace that comes through all of this, and the hope that no matter how bad it gets, there's always a reason to move forward, and we're all going to be okay. We're not alone. I'm really proud of him for being willing and able to share the story and not just kind of hole up and fester." So the question you may be wondering is, why did I choose this song? And why did I choose a song that for all intents and purposes just kind of is sad? I mean, it ends with this recurring line of, "I hate that we're taking the pictures off these walls." Well, I guess I should just come out and say that I've always been attracted to sad songs. There's something about the emotion of them that it always captures me. One of my favorite albums growing up was called Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. If that gives you any idea of the kind of music that I've enjoyed, my wife often joked. She said, "You know, I found out the genre of music that you really like." She said, "You like emo, you like screamo, and you like depresso." In case you don't know, depresso is actually not a genre of music, but in my case, maybe it is. And there's some truth to that. But I didn't pick this song simply because it was a sad song. But this song really takes me back to one of the most difficult, dark, painful seasons of my life. Now, maybe you know a little bit about my story, but maybe you don't. But what I'm talking about is, after being married for 14 years, I saw my marriage come to an end. And at the same time, the church that I had started, I had to step away from. I had to walk away from ministry for my own health and for my family. And so when I hear this song, it just brings me back there. And you might think, why do you want to go back to this sad place? It's because in the midst of all of this pain, all of this suffering, and all of this great loss, that I experienced some of the greatest blessings of God. God did some of His greatest work in me and showed me more of Himself. And so I want us to explore this song, but even more than that, I want us to explore the concept of mourning. Now, I hope that you'll take notes today. I think that you'll get the most from it. Engage in the chat. Do something that's active. I don't know. If you're sitting in your living room, you're with somebody, just say amen and hallelujah. Do something like that to engage. But if you're taking notes, I've titled today's message, "Make Room for Mourning." Make room for mourning. And now to help us to guide the rest of our time together, we're going to look at a scripture that comes from Jesus himself. One of his disciples recorded this during Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to look at Matthew 5:4. Now, I work with kids and students, and so one of the things that I do, especially for the kids, is we make up hand motions to help remember stuff. So we're going to do that today as we say this verse, because I believe it's a verse that you can memorize. So this is what Scripture says. Let's read it together. God blesses those who mourn. Okay, that's mourn. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. With that thought, with that scripture, let's just turn to God in prayer right now. Just ask His blessings over this time that we have together. Father, we ask right now that You will guide this. God, I pray that I know that You have brought people here to listen right here at this moment because You want to speak to each of us. That God, there are people right now that are in the midst of pain and loss, and You want to speak hope into them. So God, we pray that You take these next moments and use them to speak to us, to move us, and ultimately to draw us closer to You. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus was really clear in His teaching that pain and suffering was going to be something that was common to all of our experience. In John 16:33, this is what Jesus says. He says, "Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows." Now, that doesn't seem very encouraging, but Jesus was giving us the real deal. Jesus was giving it to us straight. He didn't tell us that life was always going to be sunshine and rainbows and butterflies, as great as all those things are. He told us that our experience is going to have trials, it's going to have sorrow, it's going to have pain. And our experience bears this out, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't take very much time for you to think or to connect with some type of sorrow, pain, trial, suffering that you've experienced either in the past or something that you're experiencing presently, right here, right now. So I want us to look at some of the lyrics from this song and just get our minds around it. The chorus, the thing that really haunts me when I listen to this song, it says this. It says, "But you were always mine and now you're gone. Look what we've become. Just another sad song of a love gone wrong. I hate that I'm taking our pictures off the wall." So in this song, there's this moment where the singer is dealing with the reality of loss, that they're taking this family picture and all of a sudden they're being transported for what used to be, and now they're hit with the reality that it's no longer that way. So this song is about loss. It's about mourning. And mourning can come to us for so many different reasons. I wonder if you can relate to any of these. It could be the breakup of a relationship, something very much related to this song. I mean, it doesn't have to be a marriage. It could be a breakup of a friendship. It could be a rift that's happened between parents and their child. Or maybe it's actually the death of a loved one. You know, we're here on Mother's Day, and there are probably some of you that are listening that this is a painful day for you because you're thinking about your mom who's not here with you anymore. Or maybe some of you are thinking about the loss of a job. Maybe it was a career that you had always wanted and now it's gone. Maybe maybe you got fired. Maybe you got let go. Or maybe something happened and you just weren't able to pursue what you had always dreamed of. Or maybe, and this might sound silly to some people, I don't think it is. Maybe it's even the death of a family pet. You know, some people laugh at that and they say, "Oh man, how do people get so emotional?" But the truth is that God has even given us animals and pets in our life. And so that loss can be a really deep loss for people. So I want you to think for a moment. I'm going to ask you to do something today that may make you a little bit uncomfortable. Because I'm going to ask you to actually get in touch with your pain. And as we're going to see, that a lot of us sometimes want to avoid thinking about pain. And to help us to do this, I want for a moment for you to picture a room. Okay? You get whatever this room, you can make it look like what you want. If you need to close your eyes to help you to do this. So imagine you're in a room And in that room, on the walls, you have pictures of one thing, of things that you love, things that are good memories. I mean, it could be pictures of loved ones. It could be pictures of moments. And then around that room, maybe there's also a table and you think about meals that you shared with people, moments you've shared with people. Maybe there's memorabilia all around this room. But this room is filled with things that have meant something to you. Okay? Are you building your room? Do you see things there? I mean, for some of you, maybe you see a fishing pole and that takes you back to a memory, something that you love. Okay, what do you see in your room? But now, I want you to imagine that everything in that room is now disappearing. One by one, the pictures are going off the walls, the people are disappearing, everything's disappearing, and now it's just you. Just you, alone in this blank room. I want to tell you that this is a picture of what loss is like sometimes. That in one moment you feel like that everything is just fulfilled in your life and it's going great, and the next moment you feel like it's just blank and you're by yourself. Whenever that happens, there's different responses that we each take. And I want to share with you what I think are at least three ways that people respond to pain. And I think that you could probably think of some others, but this would just help you to see maybe where you are in dealing with the painful experiences of your life. So the first is some of us try to first move past the pain. We want to leave the room and we want to distance ourselves from that feeling of pain that was there. We try to leave it in the past, but have you ever noticed that the past has a way of creeping back up into our present and into our future? So in this scenario, what you do is you try to erase from your mind that anything bad happened. You're just like, let me just move on. Have you ever noticed that when you're watching a movie or a show and someone goes to meet with a counselor, a psychologist, that the trope is normally this: let's talk about your childhood. But you know, there's something real about that. Because what we realize is that often pain that maybe we experienced all the way back in our childhood, that we didn't really process it. We just tried to move on from it, but it has a way of creeping back up in our lives. I wonder, is there a pain that you've had that you've just tried to move past it and act like it didn't happen? So that's one way, is we just try to move past it. Number two is we try to mask the pain. We try to numb it. We try to cover over it. We try to start filling that empty room with something else. Have you ever noticed that often when people have a breakdown of one relationship, they immediately fill it with another relationship? And even though friends and family may advise you and they say, hey, it's too soon, we're all tempted to do that because what we're doing is we're trying to mask over the pain. We're like, I'm experiencing this pain and I don't want to feel that. Can I tell you, I can relate to that. I don't like pain. Honestly, I try to avoid it. I don't like tense conversations. I don't like experiencing it. So if you go back to this analogy of this empty room, maybe you start filling it up with other things. But the problem is that those memories still remain. They're still under the surface of the pain, and we haven't really dealt with it. Maybe you try working more. Or maybe you try to drink more, or maybe you try to eat more, or maybe you just try to fill your time so that you don't have any space. And that kind of brings us back to the reason I titled this message is Make Room for Mourning. Sometimes we don't make room for it. And that brings us to this third point, which is really what we're going to explore the most about what Jesus says. Jesus tells us, don't simply move past the pain. Don't mask the pain. Instead, mourn the pain. Mourn the loss. That's why Jesus says this: God blesses those who mourn. Mourning means that we feel the pain, that we express the grief and the sorrow. It means that we acknowledge that the pain is actually there and that the loss is real. And it leads us to look around that empty room and actually acknowledge what's no longer there. So there was a psychologist, her name's Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, And she's the one that came up with the five stages of grief. And if you're familiar with that, one of the first stages of grief is denial. And it says, this can't be happening. And as you move and process through that, it's not just a linear process, but where you ultimately want to get is acceptance. Acceptance is, I'm at peace with what happens. And I'm here to show you today that you will never get to a place of acceptance until you actually mourn the pain that you have experienced or that you are experiencing right now. And that brings us to today's big idea. I hope you'll write this down. The big idea is this. When you make room for mourning, you open yourself up to God's blessing of comfort. I'm going to say that for you one more time. When you make room for mourning, you open yourself up to God's blessing of comfort. So think about this. A lot of times we try to crowd out the pain. But what I'm suggesting today, and I think what Jesus was suggesting, is what if you gave yourself the opportunity actually to wrestle with what you're experiencing, to mourn, to not suppress your emotions, to not act like they're not there, to not smile and be happy. You know, sometimes I think that's one of the problems in the church is that we expect everybody to be happy all the time. We're like, yeah, I mean, doesn't the Bible say rejoice in the Lord always? And again, I say rejoice. Philippians. Yeah, it does. But does that mean that there's no place for mourning, no place for sadness? Of course not. Jesus just told us that there's a place for mourning, and it actually is a place that brings blessing. So this message is telling that there's some of you that you have been basically faking it instead of facing it. You have been faking the fact and acting like everything is okay in your life when you know that that's not the case. And today, maybe God is saying to you, it is time to face it head on. And I want to help you do that in these last moments that we have together. So look at that scripture one more time. Matthew 5:4 says, God blesses those who mourn, for they will be, what? Comforted. If you don't mourn, you won't get to comfort. So many of us are bypassing the mourning, and we're never getting the comfort that only God can give us. But what would happen if we started making room for mourning? That would mean that we would make space for God to come in and do what only God could do. Now, I don't think most of us associate the words bless and mourn together. I don't think those are the things that we put, but that's what's so amazing about Jesus and really these Beatitudes is Jesus is teaching things that are counterintuitive. They go against how we would normally process things. And the truth is sometimes we need to get out of our own heads and we need to let Jesus' thoughts get into our hearts and minds. So Jesus says, if you want to get to comfort, you've got to go the pathway of mourning. So if we choose to mourn, if we choose to actually acknowledge that the loss is there, that we choose to actually face it, what does comfort look like? What is God promising you? And so this is what I want to focus on these last moments together, is if you actually will take Jesus at his word and you will say, okay, God, I'm willing to look face to face with the thing that I've wanted to move past, the thing I've tried to mask over. There are at least, I think there's probably more, three ways that God comforts us and blesses us with this comfort. I hope you write this down. Three comforts we receive from God when we make room for mourning. Here's number one, the comfort of closeness. The comfort of closeness. And we'll give you a scripture to go along with each of these because I think that you need to write these down and you need to ponder on them, meditate. That's what meditate means, is to think over and over. What is the comfort of closeness that God offers to us? It's this. Psalm 34:18 says this. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. You mean God doesn't want to run away from my pain? No, God runs to your pain. God is close to those that are brokenhearted. But if we try to cover it up and act like that we're not brokenhearted, then we miss that closeness of God. Now, you know, the good news, the gospel really shows us that God is close to the broken. Let me show you this. First, we're reminded in the incarnation, that's God taking on flesh. that he is Emmanuel, he is God with us. That means that God entered into our world of pain. He isn't a distant God that's outside of it. He entered into that pain. We're even told, as we read the Gospels, like for instance in John, when Jesus experienced the loss of his close friend Lazarus, we're told Jesus wept. He wasn't devoid of pain. He didn't get exempted from pain. When his loved ones died, whenever there was loss and breaks in relationships, Jesus mourned those things. So the incarnation reminds us that God is close. And the crucifixion reminds us that God is with us in that pain. He takes on the pain of this world in himself. Man, all of the pain and suffering of the world poured out onto Jesus on the cross. And then we're reminded of the closeness of God in the resurrection, because it's comfort and it's hope. And that's really what this message is about, is that we can get to comfort and hope. So that's the good news. God is close. He wants to be close to you. And you know what? Maybe you're not experiencing the full closeness of God because you've pushed the pain away. I'm saying no, just embrace it. Take it in. Here's the second one. The second comfort I believe that God gives those who will actually make room for mourning is the comfort of community. The comfort of people. Romans 12:15 says this: be happy with those who are happy. Weep with those who weep. That means that God has called us, especially those of us that are of the family of faith, those that know and follow Jesus, then we see other people and their experience and the joys of life, we celebrate with them. But at the same time, if they're in pain, we come along with them. We weep with them as they weep. And I want you to write this thought down. We will not experience the full comfort of God if we have not invited people into our pain. You will not experience the full comfort of God unless you invite people into your pain. And what do I mean by that? A lot of us, we don't want anybody to know our business. But we're missing out on one of the great ways that God comforts us. Again, I'll just share with you. I'll just be personal. I shared a little bit about my story and what I was experiencing in my life. And I'll be honest, I really didn't. I love my parents. My parents are godly people. They love Jesus. I've always had a close relationship with them. But when everything was falling apart in my life, for some reason, I just didn't want to talk to them. I mean, I felt like there's just so much loss and it was so heavy. And I remember one day I was just talking to my mom and my dad, and all of a sudden they live in South Carolina. I'm on the phone with them. And I just said, I got to talk to you guys about something. And then I just like broke down and shared about what was going on in my life. And you know what? There was a sense in which they were hurt that I hadn't come to them. And they were like, did you not know we would be there for you? And it took me that long time, but when I actually invited others into my pain, I started seeing some amazing things start to happen. I could start naming lots of people beyond my parents that stepped into my life. I can think about Ron who would meet with me week in and week out and help me to counsel. I think about JT and Willie, and I think about Tony, and man, there's so many other people I can think of that during this time, as I opened up to them, that they started surrounding me. They didn't have the answers to my problems, but they were there for me. And I wonder, maybe you need to invite somebody into your pain. I don't believe you have to invite everybody into it. I'm not saying you have to jump on Facebook and be like, hey, let me tell you the worst thing that's happening to me in my life right now. But do you have somebody around you? Do you have somebody that you just need to say, hey, especially somebody that will point you to Jesus? And if you don't have somebody like that, that, you know, I read all the time that people feel more comfortable when they're online. And so maybe right now, right where you're sitting, you're like, I don't know who to reach out to, but I feel compelled to reach out to somebody. Hit the live prayer button right now, and one of our hosts will pray with you. If you're on Facebook, send us a message. We want to walk with you. We want to comfort you. We want to help you. But who is it that maybe you need to reach out to? So here's the third comfort. It's the comfort of compassion. Maybe you're not the one right now in the midst of pain, but maybe you've been through pain. Pain has a way of preparing us to then have compassion on others as they're experiencing like pain. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says this, "He," speaking of God, "comforts us in all of our troubles." Why? So that we can comfort others. Do you see that? The reason God is comforting us is so then we could return that same comfort to them. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given to you. So here's what you need to see. If you are not willing to actually make room for mourning, you are not going to be prepared to be used by God in a great way to help other people that are going through pain. See, this isn't just about you. It is about your pain. It is about seeing God bring healing and comfort to your life. But it's also about you being used by God to do the same thing for other people. Can I tell you that I was not grateful for all the pain and suffering that I was going through during that season of my life. But there came a moment, and I can remember it to this day, when I got a phone call from someone else that they had heard about what I had gone through. And they said, I called you because I knew you would understand what I was going through, and I didn't have anybody else to talk to. And for the first time, I said, God, thank you for the pain. Not the pain itself, but from what came out of that pain. See, I don't believe God just makes pain come into our life, but He does allow that to happen. And He stands with us in the midst of pain, in the midst of this broken world. He says, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you, but I'm going to strengthen you so that then you can come along and you can comfort others when they're going through that pain. And it was in that moment that I said, you know what, God, you can use this. You can use my pain. My pain doesn't have to be a shame. It doesn't have to be something that I push away from. Instead, it's something that I can embrace. But here's the reality. If you don't take time to mourn, you're going to miss out on all that blessing. There's a quote from C.S. Lewis in his book, The Problem of Pain. And he says this. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience. But He shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. If we let it, pain can be one of the greatest times that we hear God speaking to us, that we hear God coming close, that He surrounds us with people, and He uses us to comfort others. And that brings us to today's win. The win is simply this. What are you going to do with what you've heard? See, it would be a real tragedy to have sat through this whole experience, to hear this message, to hear the words of Jesus where He says, God blesses those who will mourn, and he brings them comfort. It would be a real tragedy to hear that and then go away and still keep moving past our pain, still keep masking our pain. So here's today's win. When you experience pain, choose to mourn. And open yourself up to the comfort that only God can bring. Would you choose to mourn today? That doesn't sound like a happy thing, but Jesus says it is the pathway to blessing. Would you open yourself up? Would you make room? Would you make space? Maybe it means that the next time in your car, you just need to turn off the radio, turn off everything, and just have a conversation to God about the loss and the pain that you're experiencing. Maybe as soon as this is over, you need to turn to somebody that's there with you and you need to say, I need to share with you something I've been struggling with. Maybe you need to pick up your phone and you need to call somebody and say, let me share with what is going on. Or maybe you know someone that's in pain and right now God's calling you to be the comforter. He's calling you to reach out to them and say, hey, I know you're going through a lot. I just wanted to let you know that I'm here for you if you need somebody to listen. I wonder how God could use us in a mighty way if we would really take hold of that blessing, make space for mourning, and experience the blessings that God has for us. Let's pray together. Father, now I pray that when we leave this moment, that this truth will not leave us, that instead it will be planted deep in our hearts, that we will not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Help us to walk in obedience and help us to experience Your blessing, which You promise to those who are willing to walk through the pathway of mourning. May they experience comfort like they never have before. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.